Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents One Step Past Sundown by Bradford Bates and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Sean William Doyle. Chapter 1. 2026. The situation must have been urgent because Saul called instead of leaving one of his notes. "Dylan, I need your help." Saul's voice was a whisper, but carried a breathless sense of panic. This was bad. Saul only called when there was real trouble on the horizon. Like, humans in danger come with guns blazing problems. The fact he wasn't shouting orders already made this feel personal. Was someone dumb enough to go after one of the Helsing brothers? I owed Saul a lot. I'd never ignore his calls. "Tell me what's happening." There was silence on the other end of the line as Saul collected himself. "It's Megan. She's in trouble." All the air rushed out of my lungs, leaving me lost for words. Megan was Greg Helsing's daughter, and the first champion of the Helsing Society in decades. The world of man had been defenseless against the supernatural for 3 generations, but that all changed when Megan's powers manifested. It was a monumental moment for the Helsing Society, and meant a lot less work for me. I'd been Saul's problem solver for the last 20 years. When Greg and his Templars couldn't handle something, it was my job to fix it. Being a half-blood, half-human and half-vampire, gave me some advantages over a normal human. Well, maybe the Rock was up to the job, but I wasn't entirely sure someone that big and charismatic could be fully human. I heard he might even run for president. As awesome as a Dwayne Johnson presidency would be, it would have the stink of supernatural manipulation all over it. So did Megan's capture. It surprised me that the Helsing Society hadn't kept a better handle on their most prized asset. But since Saul was calling, there was still time to rescue her. "Tell me where." With a click, I transferred the audio from my phone to my earbuds and started getting ready. Fluffy, my imp, watched me from the coffee table. She knew something was up, but she didn't know what. She surprised me by turning off all our home electronics. I guess the little demon decided she was coming with. It never hurt to have a little demon power on your side. Even if mine spent most of her time smoking weed and running away from the fights I ran toward, she was probably the first demon pacifist in recorded history. Despite our different takes on life, she was my friend. I had a demon for a friend. What a crazy world. Papers rustled in the background. Despite his watcher's use of technology, the older man never felt comfortable around it. He liked to print documents and hold them in his hands. It didn't stop him from using the people at his disposal to hack every damn camera in the city when he wanted to find something. "Think your network was secure?" "Not when the Helsing Society hunted for fledglings." "Remember the silos?" Saul asked as though he thought I'd forgotten them. "Didn't they tear those down?" The longer I lived, the more I saw old things replaced with shiny new ones. Saul sounded worried again. I knew he didn't want a repeat of the past. "They did. It's a series of storage warehouses now." Neither of us wanted to say it, but I had to know before going in. "Is there a master?" "I don't know." Saul said it like he knew he was asking me to storm the beach at Normandy. What he didn't know, or maybe didn't want to, was that I had a massive crush on Megan. It was crazy to think I'd met a girl who looked my age but was damn near half of it. I couldn't stop thinking about her. I'd lusted after women before, even pined like a lovesick puppy, but I'd never met a woman who robbed my brain of oxygen like she did. When I saw her, everyone else ceased to exist. It was like I'd met the other half of my soul. While Saul might not know how I felt, I'd walk into the fires of hell to get her back. I'd even go there pro bono, and I never did anything for free. "Don't worry, Saul. I'll get her back." I meant every damn word. I hung up the phone, pulled on my steel-toed boots, and laced them up. A few seconds later, the 9mm was out of the safe and holstered to the waistband of my jeans. I grabbed my hoodie, a gift from a witch Saul and I helped out of a jam a long time ago. The stake on the back was a little on the nose, but I loved the deep red color. It might simply look like a cool sweatshirt to others, but it was bulletproof and would ward off low-level magic attacks. It was priceless. Fluffy flew off the table and landed on my shoulder.
Are we going to save the princess?
Imps were notoriously good eavesdroppers, just like Link and Mario. Saving the princess was a story as old as time, and I'd never stop fighting for this one. Fluffy grinned.
Old school. I like it.
Sometimes old school was the best. I armed the security system and ran down the stairs. We were in my two-door Wrangler a few seconds later and headed toward our destination. If the vamps found out who Megan was, things would escalate quickly. What was she doing out on a mission alone? Her powers had just manifested. She didn't know the extent of her capabilities. Neither did I. The only thing I knew for sure about every champion of the Helsing Society was that they died violently. Not Megan. Not on my watch. I parked a mile from the entrance to the industrial complex. Saul sent some satellite pictures. I pulled them up on my phone and sent copies to my laptop for larger viewing as I inventoried the gear in the cargo area. Science supplied us with an endless wealth of super cool stuff to fight vampires. Silver-tipped stakes, knives with silver in the blades, and an assortment of colloidal silver paintballs for the custom rifle I had made. The weapon might be overkill for this mission, but this was Megan, so I took it anyway. Besides, it was the perfect weapon against younger vampires vulnerable to silver. I grabbed another tube of silver ammunition and one of witch juice. There weren't many magic users in the Phoenix metro area, but it never paid to take chances. Walking down the street with a weapon that resembled an M16 strapped to my back was bound to attract attention even in an open carry state like Arizona. That's why I wouldn't walk. Running at vampire speed, I could cover the distance to the warehouse in about 2 minutes. I looked over the satellite images one last time. Everything but the gate and one warehouse at the back of the property was unguarded. It seemed too easy until I remembered the security equipment. In addition to a standard alarm system, there could also be motion sensors, pressure plates, cameras, and infrared or temperature sensors in use. I closed the rear gate, locked the Jeep, and turned to Fluffy. I'm not going to offer you a deal. I just need you with me on this one. The imp looked touched.
Let's say you owe me one.
I glared at the little bugger. Within reason. Fluffy landed on my shoulder.
Don't worry, Dylan. We'll get her back.
My demon was hard to figure out. She wanted to help, but had an internal block that stopped her unless we made a deal. I still got angry about it on occasion, but realized that in her strange way, Fluffy was trying to assist me. The asphalt thundered beneath my feet as I sped down the road, headed for the warehouse complex. Of course, waltzing straight in the front would be a mistake. Instead, I did what any good burglar would do. I broke into the lot next door. It was full of junked cars and heaps of rusty scraps. I didn't see the value, but maybe someone else did. When I was a kid, junkyards like this had aggressive dogs for security, but nowadays even the canines were being put out of work by technology. With any luck, I'd be long gone before the establishment's employees checked their surveillance tapes. Being spotted on film wasn't a concern unless they called the police or, worse, alerted the on-duty staff at the warehouse. I wasn't worried about being recognized. Mirrors muddled our features. Photographs and videos made us look out of focus and washed out, like an overexposed photograph. The effects made us harder to identify. It was a damned handy personal security feature when answering questions inside a police station at 3 a.m.
That could be anyone on that video, officer, I swear.
I ignored the cameras and kept my eye on the 15-foot-tall razor wire-topped wall that separated the lots. It seemed like overkill to protect a few simple warehouses, but they probably did it to save on insurance. The bean counters loved it when they didn't have to worry about easy theft. I walked along the wall until I found a pile of cars that looked tall enough for me to use as a springboard to get over the barrier. I nodded at Fluffy.
It's your time to shine.
She flew over the wall and came back a minute later.
All clear on the other side.
I jumped once, landing on top of 3 stacked cars. I leapt a second time and landed on the other side of the wall. It would have been cool to say I landed silently, but no. My 200-pound frame slammed into the ground, hard. My knees didn't like it, but by the time I stood, any damage caused by the drop had already healed. Fluffy landed on my shoulder.
Circle back for the guards at the gate, or go straight for the princess?
It was a good question. I didn't like the idea of leaving armed men behind me. They could be trouble when we tried to exit. At the same time, all that mattered was getting to Megan as quickly as possible. I couldn't let anything happen to her. She might never feel anything for me, but I was smitten with stupidity when it came to her. If she died tonight, I'd never get to see where things might go. Not to mention, her loss would devastate Saul and Greg.
I have to save her, Fluffy. I didn't like the desperation in my voice. The imp flew off my shoulder.
One security system going down. They'll never see you coming.
I winked at the imp. Thank you. I swore I saw a little color in her cheeks as she flew off. My guess was demons didn't get many thanks. It was kind of like working at a fast food place without any acknowledgement. How hard was it to say thank you after ordering food? A little common courtesy went a long way to brighten people's days. In this case, it wasn't an empty platitude. I meant it. Imagining a perplexed security person trying to figure out why their entire system was down for no reason made me snicker mentally. Get imped, sucker. I gave Fluffy a few minutes to work, then crept forward. Vampiric hearing had advantages when it came to sneaking around. If anyone were close, I'd be able to hear them. The guards at the gate were too distant to pick up, but nothing moved in my immediate vicinity. I kept the rifle raised as I peeked around the building's corner. The guards at the gate faced the street. It made sense. If there was a threat, it shouldn't be coming from inside the secured area. Turning away from the gate revealed the other two guards I'd seen on the satellite images. This was the only building with additional security. It had to be where they were holding Megan. Guards wouldn't be stationed outside a warehouse unless there was something inside to protect. The men didn't move with the grace of vampires, so I realized they were Renfields. I hated humans willing to sell out their species by working for vampires. I glanced at the gate to confirm no one was looking, and sprinted across the space between the large buildings. The narrow alleys between several structures provided cover until I was close enough to hear the guards breathing. Neither man spoke. They were attentive to their task, which wasn't easy to do late at night. Even when a person worked the graveyard shift for years, something about the 3 a.m. hour brought most people down. Not these guys. The two men guarding the front of Warehouse 14 were alert and twitchy, suggesting they were wired with enough coffee to power an army. It wouldn't be easy to sneak up on them. Thankfully, they were humans. They didn't stand a chance against me. I pulled my knife from its sheath, slipped around the edge of the warehouse, and took off like a rocket. I drove the blade into the first man's chest as I slammed into him. Momentum carried us into the second guard. Before he could reach for his gun, I'd pulled my knife free and plunged it into his heart. The gentle sucking sound as I pulled the blade out wasn't loud enough for the guards at the gate to hear. The growing pool of blood by the door was cause for concern. I pushed the bodies up against the side of the building. They weren't out of sight, but weren't out in the open anymore. I couldn't do anything about the blood. I had too much dignity to lick it off the asphalt. As a wise woman once said, "Ain't nobody got time for that." With the two Renfields down, I pulled the rifle off my back and ensured it was ready to fire. Fluffy appeared a moment later. She glanced at the bodies, then drifted to the door. As far as I knew, there wasn't a building on the planet Fluffy couldn't get into. Fort Knox was lucky she hadn't taken my vacation idea seriously. Between my face blurring on surveillance cameras and her ability to open locks, we could have stolen enough money to buy our own country. Diltopia? Nope. Maybe Fluff Island? Shit, that was even worse. Maybe I'd settle for enough money to pay my property taxes. The door slid open, and I slipped through it with my rifle raised. Stacks of boxes on pallets occupied most of the space. I rushed toward the first set, using it for cover as I searched for more guards. I'd never had formal training on how to breach a building. I only knew what I learned from playing video games and watching John Wick movies. I wasn't an expert, but I knew enough not to get shot. Then something hit me in the back. Always clear the door, dumbass. I hadn't checked either side of the doorway in my haste to get inside, and now I was paying for it. A bullet hit the magical hoodie and bounced off. That didn't stop the round from cracking one of my ribs. Before the shooter could fire again, I dodged, picked him up by the throat with one hand, and let my rifle hang to grip his wrist. I squeezed, crushing the bones until he dropped his weapon. I wanted to feed on him to speed up the healing, but I didn't know what Megan would think if she saw my mouth covered in blood. She knew I was different, but I didn't believe she knew the whole story. Greg was probably dying to fill her in. The last thing he wanted was his daughter getting involved with a monster. To him, I was more vamp than human. I snapped the guard's neck and dropped him. There was a lot of human security for an allegedly simple mission. Megan could deal with one fledgling on her own, maybe more. The newer, less experienced vampires weren't as powerful as their elders. For her to get captured meant the intel was off, or she'd made a big mistake in her calculations. I silently moved through the warehouse with my rifle in my hands, slipping from one laden pallet to the next. In some places, they'd been stacked almost to the 25-foot ceiling. It made the warehouse feel like a rat trap or a maze instead of an organized distribution center. My gut said to slow down because I was moving too fast to hear or see anything important, but my feet had other ideas. Saving Megan was all that mattered.
You're going to tell us where the Templar's headquarters is.
The man who spoke wasn't asking a question. It sounded like Megan spat on him. Then he slapped her. I didn't think as I rounded the last obstacle between us with my rifle raised to fire. I wanted to look at Megan and ensure she was okay, but I stayed focused on the vampire standing before her. My finger reflexively squeezed the trigger and held it for auto fire. Paintballs flew and exploded on impact, burning his skin where the colloidal silver touched him. Each hit stripped away some of his strength. Two fledglings charged me, trying to defend their sire. It was easy to stop the first one by firing a steady stream of flying silver paintballs at him. The younger vampire reacted violently to the shots. He fell to the floor, screaming in pain. I turned to shoot the last fledgling and managed to block her sword as she swung it at me. Who the fuck brings a sword to a gunfight? The blade stuck in my rifle's barrel, and when she tried to yank the sword free, I let go of the gun. The woman flew backward, and I charged her holding my silver-tipped stake. She burst into ashes a moment later when it tore through her heart. The other fledgling was too busy clawing the silver from its skin to notice me coming. I ashed that sucker with a smile. There was only one person left in the room to deal with, the vampire.
It wasn't nice to kill my children.
He had one hand around Megan's throat. His 3-inch-long nails pressed into her skin. It would only take a small squeeze to rip her throat out. The craziest thing was Megan didn't look worried. Her long black hair was tied back in a ponytail, making her vibrant blue eyes stand out. I could have looked into those eyes forever. Right now, they shone with laughter.
It's not him you should be worried about.
Megan tugged on the vampire's forearm. The limb didn't move a fucking inch. She kept tugging on it, and the vampire laughed.
When the master sees who I've brought him, he will shower me with riches.
Megan kept her hands on the vampire's arm, but she wasn't tugging anymore. Her blue eyes almost glowed. The idiot was still too focused on me to realize something was happening. A golden aura appeared around Megan's hands. I had no idea what she was doing, but I'd back her play. All I had to do was keep this vampire busy for a little longer.
Do you think your master is going to be happy with you? This location is compromised, and he's lost several assets.
I nodded at one pile of ashes.
I wouldn't count on a warm welcome home.
The vamp's smug expression didn't falter. He tried to lift Megan, but all that rose was a stump. He waved it as he tried to comprehend where the rest of his limb had gone.
The vampire lunged to grab Megan and screamed, "The master will restore me!"
That would be a neat trick.
Megan dodged the vampire's grasp and kicked his back as he passed to create space between them. I was still getting used to her magic, but if I wasn't mistaken, "She'd harry my scar will protect me," pottered that guy's arm. It was like when Voldemort tried to touch Harry at the end of the first movie and started to dissolve, except she'd actively used her magic to hurt him. Remind me never to piss her off. There were a few parts of my anatomy I wanted to keep intact. The vampire realized how much trouble he was in when my stake tore through his heart. I stepped back, pulling the stake free as flames burst from the wound. The vampire exploded, and fire spread to some of the boxes behind him. It was time to go. As soon as the boys out front saw the flames, they'd call in the cavalry. Megan pulled me into a hug.
Thanks for coming.
Always. I grinned like a lovesick moron. What happened to the leg? Seeing her wound made me want to kill that vampire again.
I was scouting the place and one of the guards got off a lucky shot.
She looked more embarrassed that she'd made a mistake than the fact a vamp had almost killed her. I looked at the wound, trying not to think about what her blood would taste like. You can't run on that leg. I knelt and offered her a piggyback ride. Hop on. Megan didn't know the extent of my abilities, but she was about to get a preview. I slipped my hands under her thighs and lifted. She winced, so I set her down. Holding her like that was going to be a problem. My hand was on the bullet wound. My heart ached to know she was in pain. I'd been shot so many times I'd forgotten how much it could hurt. The last face I wanted to see grimace was hers. I stepped in front of her and lifted her into my arms. Realizing what I wanted, Megan wrapped her legs around my waist. I put my hands under her butt, keeping them well away from her wound. Megan bit her bottom lip in a way that made my heart race, then buried her head into my neck.
What are you waiting for? Get me out of here!
As you wish! We took off at full speed. I wasn't going to stop until she was safe. Fluffy and I sat on the couch. I took a hit off my dry herb vape and passed it to the imp. Megan was back in her family's arms and resting. Seeing how much they loved her made me think about my family. I hadn't thought of them in years. Time had a way of eating away at the pain of their loss. But the emotional wound stung as freshly as the day it happened whenever I picked at it. Fluffy passed the vaporizer back, and I took another hit. Life had been simple before all this started. I was a kid fresh out of high school. Now my remaining human friends were in their 50s. There were still so many unanswered questions, things that needed resolution. To know what I wanted for the future, I had to examine my past. Tonight was the right night to do it. Leaning back, I exhaled and let my body sink into the couch. Reliving the past was never easy, but I couldn't avoid it forever. Chapter 2
1999. Dylan, you sound like a cheap wind chime.
Enrique laughed as he tossed an empty beer bottle into the woods. The glass bottles in my backpack clinked as I walked, but I didn't hear him complaining about getting free beer. It was a great night when you were under 21 and your buddy scored a few bottles. Neither of us had fake IDs, and there weren't many merchants willing to risk the fine for selling to minors. This beer stash was courtesy of the fridge in my family's garage. Thanks to the holiday season's upcoming parties, it was packed. Or had been, until I got frisky and grabbed a whole damn 12er off the top. It was too bad there wasn't a beer tree we could harvest when we wanted a few drinks. I was 19 and living at home. I spent my days helping my dad keep the sandwich shop running, and my nights trying to sneak girls into my bedroom, if I could get them past Mom. The women possessed a sixth sense when it came to interrupting my chances of getting lucky. Did you toss that in the forest? I pulled another beer from my backpack and waggled it. If you want this one, you gotta promise to put the empty back in the bag. Enrique stopped and held out his hand.
Give me the beer, eco-warrior!
If being an eco-warrior nabbed me a date with Joey Lorene from Biodome, I was all in. Pulling the beer away from his outstretched hand, I tisked like his grandma did when she was upset with him.
Not until you give me your word. You sound like a girl on the third date.
Enrique grinned like he'd promised me the world if I gave him what he wanted. I won't chuck this one on the trees if it unwinds your panties. It was my turn to smile as I pulled the beer away from his outstretched hand again.
I don't know, they're still kind of bunched up from all the excitement.
When a man accused you of wearing panties, you had two choices. Let him humiliate you, or push it further until they were too uncomfortable to bring it up again. I wasn't there yet, but if Enrique dropped another panties joke, I would mention how hot his older sister was. It was a real shame Marissa didn't come home for Christmas anymore. She was a real hottie. I could go on about when she washed her car in the driveway. Sometimes I still dreamed about it. Enrique snatched the beer from my hand before I could pull it away again. My buddy did whatever he wanted, regardless of how I felt about it. That was his M.O. If he hadn't been my best friend since I moved to Illinois,
I would have kicked him to the curb in a heartbeat. We were on different paths. I wanted to get back into school, and he was content being a small-time hustler. He wasn't perfect best friend material, but I tried to work around the flaws. No one was perfect. I had plenty of flaws of my own. That was why I created the Path to Greatness, a little roadmap in my head of where I wanted to be in the future. Whenever I had to make a serious choice, I pulled up the path to see if the decision got me closer to success or farther away. Then I picked the option that moved me closer. At least I did most of the time. Sometimes you had to throw the plan aside and live a little. Hate calling it a night so early, but I have to work tomorrow. I looked down at my feet, shuffling them a bit. I hated disappointing my best friend, but I wasn't going to underestimate my father's wrath. You know how my dad gets if I show up late and hungover. Taking a long pull of his beer, Enrique lifted his brows. Fine, but before I let you off the hook, you gotta do me a solid. Here we go. Favors for Enrique typically ended with us running from the cops or an angry boyfriend and his crew. I couldn't afford to get into any trouble if I wanted to get into college. Taking a year off school to help with the store had put me behind on applying to universities as it was, and schools wouldn't think criminal histories were badges of honor. I knew my friend wouldn't take no for an answer, but my days of blindly following his lead were over. Tell me what it is first. There were certain lines I wouldn't cross on one of Enrique's little adventures. It was all fun and games when we hit the beer bong and ran down the street to get Taco Bell, but I wasn't the kind of guy who broke into buildings or sold drugs for a living. I had different ideas about what I wanted out of life. Enrique wanted to get ahead, but he was willing to cut corners. I'd learned not to underestimate his lack of scruples when it came to making money a while ago. I gotta go make a deal with Dabbler. He handed me the empty bottle and motioned for another. I frowned as I pulled a fresh beer out of my bag and slapped it into his hand. Didn't he try to stab you once? This trip didn't sound like it was on the path to greatness. We might have entered into aggressive negotiations on occasion, but that's all in the past. Enrique waved his free hand as if warding off further discussion on the matter. Now we do business. Alarm bells went off in my head. Do you only need a ride, or are you looking for backup? Going to meet with Dabbler was on the edge of my fuck-off-I'm-going-home radar. I would need some convincing before I said yes. As far as drug dealers went, Dabbler wasn't so bad. I'd never seen him with a gun. That didn't mean if I wanted a little ganja, there weren't 100 other people I'd call first. Dabbler tended to traffic with a harder crowd than I was comfortable with. I liked to smoke and relax. I wasn't about the lifestyle. Hard drugs had a higher chance of ending in violence, and I had other plans for my future. Dreams that didn't include serious injury or jail time for trafficking. All I wanted was a chance to shine. Enrique waved away my concerns and hit me with the aw shucks smile. Grams won't let me take the car tonight, so I need a ride. You don't have to come up. You can wait downstairs. It won't take more than a few minutes, I swear. Enrique sipped his beer. What are you picking up? I wasn't driving him home with something I didn't know about in my car. Police officers didn't tend to believe pleas of ignorance. You gotta relax, bro. Dabsy Doolittle just got a shipment of the dankest dank. You remember that stuff from last summer that smelled like blueberries? I'm going to buy a quarter pound. Shit is going to sell itself. That blueberry skunk was some damn fine weed. Going to Dabbler's house with $1,000 in his pocket and no backup seemed stupid. Once a deal crossed that financial threshold, people started to get a little twitchy. Dabs wasn't hardcore, but that didn't mean he wouldn't lash out if Enrique tried to screw him over. This was starting to feel way out of my comfort zone, but I couldn't let my friend go alone. If something happened to Enrique because I didn't go, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. Picking up a quarter pound was a little beyond my scope. That wasn't weight you carried around for recreational use with your friend while watching movies. I needed to think of the trip as a ride, or I needed to back out. Then there was the blueberry factor. It was good, and it had been out of circulation for almost a year. Are you sure he has the blueberry? I had my doubts.
but it might be worth it if he had this strain.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?